Have you ever stood in the center of your carefully constructed life and felt like an imposter? Perhaps you've achieved everything society told you to pursue, career success, family, financial stability, yet something essential feels missing. This profound midlife reckoning happens when our souls begin to rebel against lives that have become too small. The carefully constructed identity that served us in life's first half suddenly feels like a prison rather than a foundation. Consider the retired professor who fell into depression without his academic structure, or the successful executive who realized mid-flight, "I hate my life." These experiences represent what James Hollis calls an insurgency of the soul, a rebellion against the ego's limited understanding that invites more conscious living in life's second half. This crisis typically emerges in our late 30s or 40s when pursuits and identities that once gave meaning begin to ring hollow. Physical symptoms like insomnia or anxiety may manifest as the psyche demands attention. We often discover, to our dismay, that we've been living someone else's life, following scripts written by family, society, or our own limited understanding of who we should be. Before the last century, most people lived according to the first half of life's agenda, constrained by social institutions and shorter lifespans. Today, with twice the adult lifespan and eroded social constraints, we face unprecedented opportunity to ask, "Who am I apart from my roles?" And what is the second half of life about if not repeating the script of the first half? Each morning, twin gremlins of fear and lethargy confront us. Fear of the unknown and comfort's pull create spiritual stagnation, forcing a choice between anxiety or depression. As Hollis notes, choose anxiety and ambiguity. They are developmental, always, while depression is regressive. Anxiety is an elixir, and depression, a sedative. The midlife journey requires diving into unknown depths. People typically try denial, then familiar strategies, then external changes through new jobs or relationships. Only when these fail does the real inner work begin. Distress surfaces progressively, first in relationships, then career, then personal symptoms. The psyche signals through stages, from boredom to resistance to manifestations like sleep issues, affairs, or addictions, all indicating our old patterns no longer serve us. Our choices shape our patterns and future. Choosing comfort over growth fails not only ourselves, but those around us, especially children, who must either mirror our limitations or overcompensate. This explains why many live inauthentic lives, either following childhood patterns or blindly rebelling against them rather than finding their true path. Our early experiences shape our self-worth through magical thinking, interpreting how we're treated as reflections of our value. A woman with indifferent parents concluded, "I have never been loved because I am not worth loving." These unconscious beliefs guide our choices, often contrary to our soul's desires. Childhood wounds fall into two main categories, overwhelmment and insufficiency. Overwhelmment stems from powerlessness against our environment, leading to three responses: retreat, control-seeking, or accommodation. Insufficiency, the belief that our needs won't be met, creates patterns of self-doubt, overcompensation through achievement, or constant need for reassurance. While these adaptations helped us survive childhood, they become limiting in adulthood. The achiever seeking parental approval continues long after satisfaction fades. The people pleaser can't say no. The emotional avoider struggles with intimacy. Recognition of these patterns marks our first step toward liberation from these self-imposed constraints. Within us lies a transcendent force that works to overthrow our ego, the self, which operates from a broader perspective than our conscious mind. Two forces compete inside us: the conscious ego seeking comfort and security, and the self pursuing wholeness and meaning. Depression acts as the psyche's messenger. When ego-driven pursuits no longer serve our development, the psyche withdraws its energy. While the ego experiences this as defeat, it signals both an ending and a potential new beginning. Depression's core message asks us to discover what the psyche wants rather than following external expectations. We cannot avoid swampland visitations, encounters with death, loss, betrayal, anxiety, and depression. These moments challenge us to expand consciousness and find meaning in suffering. Guilt accompanies a life of moral significance, loss follows abundance, and doubt drives spiritual growth by pushing us beyond accepted truths toward new understanding. Our deepest fantasy is finding someone who will heal our past and meet our needs. All relationships begin with projection, imposing past experiences onto new situations. This unconscious process risks contaminating each unique encounter with historical baggage. These patterns explain why relationships repeat predictably. The abused child often seeks either an abusive partner or someone easily controlled. Those with impaired parents gravitate toward troubled souls, recreating familiar caretaker roles. When mutual projection occurs between two people, they experience powerful attraction called romance. Yet behind every projection stands a real person whose imperfect reality eventually surfaces. A mature relationship embraces the otherness of our partner rather than childhood dependency. While the immature psyche seeks confirmation, we grow through differences. The irony is clear. The more we expect another to heal our wounds, the more disappointing the relationship becomes. True growth emerges when we view relationships as opportunities to expand through engaging with our partner's unique nature. While we choose careers, vocation chooses us. To choose what chooses us brings inner harmony, despite potential conflicts, as shown by a teacher who left law to create a charter school against family wishes. In life's second half, the ego must release others' values and accept possible solitude. This surrender paradoxically brings abundance and the freedom to pursue what's inherently meaningful. Vocation becomes a divine summons to authenticity through ego submission. The sandwich generation must balance caring for children and parents while maintaining personal growth. Neglecting oneself breeds resentment and illness. Modern families should prioritize nurturing each member's individuation while finding equilibrium between personal freedom and others' needs. The healing of the soul requires examining fundamental questions about our journey. We feel betrayed when we burden finite things, fragile people, and limited roles with the vast agenda of the soul. Only our move toward wholeness can fulfill these deep aspirations. Children learn to hide their needs in unsupportive environments, adapting chameleon-like to others' demands until they become strangers to themselves. This childhood survival strategy becomes an adult liability, a daily sacrifice of integrity. Recognition that we are a truth meant to be lived empowers us to speak more authentically. Here you are in this mysterious now, with consciousness as your tool for change. Perhaps its highest purpose isn't self-glorification, but serving something larger. The second half of life isn't about achievements or accolades. It's about discovering and living your authentic truth beneath roles and expectations. Within you lies the potential for a timeless, larger life that honors both your unique gifts and your connection to something greater.